At first listen, you might assume that the phrase, "pierce my hands and my feet," would appear in one or more of the Gospels. Actually, this is a prophetic phrase written in Psalm 22, verses 12 through 18. Brother David Johnson will use those same words as a sermon topic on this Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this broadcast with our prayers and contributions. Next in our program, we will present gospel singing and a prayer.
Thank you.
please pray with me. We see that it was in your plan long ago for Jesus to be our Savior. We thank you for this love, and we praise you for the salvation that is found in Jesus. Please bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and a right relationship with you. Help each one who is sharing the gospel, especially be with the persecuted. It is important that each of us to stand firm in anticipation of the promised return of Jesus for his church. Thank you for helping us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Pierce My Hands and My Feet.
It's good to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Pierced My Hands and My Feet. And our text is taken from the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 22, verses 12 through 18. Please listen to the Word of God. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. This is the Word of God. A Psalm of David, which has tremendous prophetic content. The strongest objective argument that is uninfluenced by emotion, surmise, or personal prejudice for the reasonable validity and veracity of the Bible comes from fulfilled Bible prophecy. Why? Because only God knows the future accurately. This is because we believe only God ordains the future, and only He can bring it to pass. Believers of Scripture understand that many events were recorded in Scripture hundreds, even thousands of years before they came to be fulfilled. Each one fulfilled brings indisputable confirmation that the Scripture is what it claims to be, the inspired, infallible Word of God, infallible in its original manuscripts or autographs, as they're called. Nowhere is this validation of the Bible more true than those prophecies which were fulfilled at the first coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Although recorded and preserved many centuries before Christ's incarnation, that is, when he was made flesh, incarnation, more than 100 Old Testament prophecies concerning the life and ministry of Christ were perfectly, accurately fulfilled as recorded in the New Testament. Each fulfillment documents the authenticity of Scripture as God-breathed, inspired of the living God. This is what makes Psalm 22 and others like it so very amazing. Actually written over 1,000 years before the first coming of Christ, this Psalm of David reads as if it were actually recorded by a person standing at the foot of the cross in many portions of Psalm 22, using, in many cases, figurative language. Yes, David prefills some parts of Psalm 22. However, David, inspired of the Holy Spirit, wrote this psalm in about 1000 BC, before Christ, which is a graphic portrayal of the cross, hundreds of years before crucifixion was used widely as a form of capital punishment. Crucifixion believed to be invented by the Persians in about the year 300 to 400 BC. It is actually the most detailed description of crucifixion found anywhere in Scripture, and that's found in the Old Testament, not the New Testament. David's preview of the cross has been referred to as, quote, the fifth gospel, end quote. And the gospel according to David, only the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 rivals it. Some question whether Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm looking forward to Messiah, claiming that it describes suffering that David endured symbolically, poetically, that it describes Messiah's future to David's time is supported by several facts. First, there are no recorded events in the life of David, King David, that correspond to these descriptions. Secondly, the psalm has specific phrases that could only be used of someone undergoing crucifixion. Thirdly, unlike other psalms, and David wrote 73 of the 150 psalms, if not more, this psalm, 22, contains no mention of the psalmist's own personal sin, confession of sin, or even regret for the pains that he was suffering. Fourthly, there is no call to God for vindication of wrongs suffered by David. Surely, if David were writing this psalm of himself, there would be some call for God's vengeance to fall on his enemies. But there is no cry for vindication, for revenge on his behalf toward his enemies. Therefore, it is reasonably, objectively concluded that Psalm 22 is a prophetic portrayal of the coming suffering servant, the Messiah, who would suffer a grueling, cruel execution and would be forsaken of God so that his people would know the Lord's forgiveness. Let's look closer at some of the truths of our text. Verses 12 and 13. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. The agony Messiah encountered is pictured in the imagery of being surrounded by a pack of wild, ravenous beasts. The portrayal is one of evil brutality. Unbelieving, unrepentant, carnal people who reject God often act like beasts, like fierce animals. The execution squad of soldiers at the cross, and even the unbelieving crowd, acted like a bloodthirsty pack of beasts. Such was the horror and humiliation that Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, voluntarily offered himself for the cumulative sin of mankind. As the Apostle John recorded of the words regarding John the Baptist in his Gospel, the first chapter and verse 29, the Gospel of the Apostle John, it says, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." That is, of mankind. Of course, effectual only to those people of repentant faith. And then Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And then Peter wrote in his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That is, healed of our sin problem that separates us from God. Upon glorification, believers' bodies will be healed and redeemed, also glorified, made incorruptible and immortal. Psalm 22, verses 14 and 15. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Poured out like water, that is, the thinking of his enemies, which is that he was utterly destroyed, like spilled water on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. All my bones are out of joint. The cross is likened to a rack devised for excruciating pain. So he was stretched until all was out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away. Many doctors surmise that the crucifixion, tortures that Jesus went through, that Christ was subjected to, caused his heart organ to burst. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. This refers to the intense weakness and severe dehydration that he endured on the cross. You lay me in the dust of death refers to his plight being so traumatic that he feels near death. In verse 16, listen to what it says. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Dogs have encircled me. Scholar Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher of generations ago in London, England, writes, quote, "Hunters frequently surround their game with a circle and gradually encompass them with an ever-narrowing ring of dogs and men." Ancient Jews often referred to Gentiles as dogs. Such were the Romans. Yet in the center of this ring stands not a panting stag, but a bleeding, fainting man. And around him are the enraged and unpitying wretches who have hounded him to his doom. End of quote from Charles Spurgeon. Pierced my hands and my feet. A commentator writes, quote, "The tearing asunder of the tender fibers of the hands and feet, the lacerating of so many nerves, the bursting of so many blood vessels must be productive of intense agony. The nerves of the hand and foot are intimately connected through the arm and leg with nerves of the whole body. Their laceration, therefore, must be felt over the entire body frame. This he, the suffering servant, the Messiah, endured for 6 hours from approximately 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. At any time, he could have come down off that cross, but he chose to endure it all for you and for me and all of mankind. That indeed is love for mankind. For he did this while we were yet sinners. Psalm 22 and verse 17. I can count all my bones. People glare, people stare and gloat over me. This is a graphic picture of his emaciation, that is, his tortured body in total. Again, Charles Spurgeon writes, quote, It was better to count the bones of his emaciated body than to bring leanness to our souls. End of quote. People stare and gloat over me. Charles Spurgeon writes, quote, "Let us blush for human nature and mourn in sympathy with our Redeemer's shame. The first Adam made us all naked due to sin, and therefore the second Adam, Christ, became naked that he might clothe our naked souls." End of quote. Verse 18 of Psalm 22. "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." This verse reveals how greatly the Savior's seamless garment was valued. The suffering servant's garment became more valuable than he himself to his enemies. Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the Cross in the Old Testament. It begins in verse 1 with the words, quote, my God, why have you forsaken me?" End of quote. David and his afflictions may be here in a very modified sense, but as the star is concealed by the light of the sun, he who sees Christ will probably neither see nor care to see David. The darkness of the cross is obvious. Not so obvious to many is the light of the cross. For without the cross, mankind would be doomed, separated from God into eternity. The cross is bittersweet, wondrous to believers. Isaac Watts, considered one of the greatest and most prolific of hymn writers, an Englishman also, wrote his most famous hymn, which is entitled, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Its last two stanzas are as follows. "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." End quote. Therefore, may our hearts melt in humble adoration of the exceedingly great sacrifice made by God's sinless Son. May such love lead us or you, we as Christians, to recommit, and you who perhaps are not Christians yet, not baptized into Christ, to commit to Christ and allow his control of your lives, of our lives, as we receive him not only as Savior, but as Lord of our lives.
Yeah.
We pray that you have already received the salvation that is found in Jesus. If you have not made this important decision, please understand that you must first believe that Jesus is God's Son, the Savior, who died and rose again. We are taught in the Bible that believers are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and then be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you with spiritual needs, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this and next week's program, please request 2407. That's program 2407. Use the addresses that will follow. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.